This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 9th, episode 1793, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this holiday that only government employees have off. Does that mean Chad's working?
Nope, Chad has it off, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
He's going to be home all day, so life is good.
We can't even mention the name of the holiday anymore because it's like politically incorrect, but we still have this holiday. So
Happy Guy Who Murdered Everybody Day.
Yeah.
Or brought everybody to murder everybody.
Yeah, but you know what? He brought the horses over. So there's that. He did bring horses over.
He did contribute to our Mustang population.
That's right. You have your horses today partly because of him. Now, they would have come eventually. But, you know, whatever.
Hey, let's give him the credit. Whatever.
It is one of those holidays that even the schools here have school today. It's just...
You know, like, we pay for Lucas to go to school. Okay, he's in pre-K, and he goes to, a private pre-K, because all of our friends' kids go there, and so we got suckered into this. And so he just goes Tuesdays and Thursdays. Let me vent for just a second.
Okay, go ahead. Vent away.
He goes to school 2 days a week. Tuesdays and Thursdays. 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. They're on freaking fall break this week. From what?
From what?
Oh. Okay. He's like, do you have school today? I'm like, no, you don't have school for all freaking week. And that's really, that really screws up parents.
Isn't there a camp you could send him to or something?
I'm like, do y'all have any sort of daycare kind of thing? Miss Holmes, are you going to be in school today? Because I'm just going to drop him off.
You definitely are not going to be homeschooling, are you?
What is that? I don't even know what that is. That doesn't even make sense to me.
I didn't think so.
Oh, God.
I didn't think there was any homeschooling going on. Jennifer,
Happy Columbus Day.
Yeah. What is going on today, Jennifer? We got a full show.
We got a big show coming up on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition. We're going to go big on minis today as author Kendra Gale stops by to talk about her new book, The Big Book of Miniature Horses, everything you ever needed to know and more about those cute little guys. And then next up, Claire Cunningham comes to us from Ireland to chat about what's going on at the upcoming classes at Flag Is Up Farms.
And she's also
Leslie from Horse Nation is going to share.
She's also at
the sales in Ireland right now.
Oh, for thoroughbreds?
She works thoroughbred sales. Oh, yeah, it's okay. Pretty cool. Sorry, cool. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah. I hope they don't have that live stream because that's going to really cut down on my productivity today. Leslie Wiley is here, of course, and she's from Horse Nation, and she's going to share her recent adventures at the Kentucky Horse Park aboard Princess, her pony, and staying at the horse park. Kayla Muller is going to stop by and talk about her adventures at the Retired Racehorse Makeover Project, where she was competing with Gable. And last but not least, National Moldy Cheese Day today, so there you go. Celebrate.
Well, I have to call somebody out. I was looking because our auditor Kendra is going to be on later with her book, and I got a copy of the book, and I can't find the copy of the book, and I saw Lisa Kelly when she was here last weekend looking at the book because she has minis. And I kind of think my book disappeared. I have to double check, but I'm kind of thinking it disappeared.
So Lisa Kelly comes to your house,
steals my book
free, and steals your stuff. Oh my God.
I'm not positive. I cannot accuse her of that totally. I could have just misplaced the book, but I know they were looking at the book. So.
I really want Lisa, please post a picture of you with the book. Please. It'll make my day. Right, and maybe it. Like, I don't know, his wallet.
Well, it is Daily Winnie time, and I'm going to give a happy Thanksgiving to all our Canadian listeners. Yes, they have Thanksgiving, too. That's not just an American thing. Oh, Jennifer found the book.
Darn it.
Darn. Lisa, I apologize. Lisa, I apologize. She was thinking about stealing the book, I know.
And Lisa, please tell me you took his wallet, at least.
This book has lots of great pictures of minis, by the way. So, it is Canadian Thanksgiving today, so we have a lot of Canadian listeners, and happy Thanksgiving to Rhonda and to Kendra going on later. It's her book, and she's from Canada.
Okay, so. See, but like every day for Canadians is Thanksgiving Day, because they're just nice, and they thank everybody for everything. They're just nice.
I kind of looked, I tried to look up the origins of their Thanksgiving, and it got, to, it was so long, and then I just got bored. But basically, the first sentence that this guy wrote is, it was their way of saying thanks for not being part of America. That was the first sentence of this article I read. So there you go. We'll just stick with that.
Thank you for our free health care.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my Daily Winnie goes out to a lot of people, actually, because all of the people competed at America's, the Retired Racehorse Project. And the winner went to Charlie Caldwell. He is a polo trainer. But I also wanted to give a little bit of a shout out. Did you see Elisa Wallace's freestyle?
I did. She was bridleless again, right?
She comes in bridleless. There's a barrel on the ground. She picks up the barrel while she's bridleless and bareback. Moves it around, then jumps it, and then like does
she side passed over it. I saw that.
Yeah. Did you see the part where she rode her horse backwards?
Yes.
And then cantered while she was riding it backwards. It was just an absolute incredible display. And then the horse goes and jumps like this 4-foot fence. And
it did was she like, win or was she tied for first? How did that work?
She like tied for first in the freestyle.
Okay.
I think. And then remember Isabella D'Souza we had
yes.
on a couple years
She's
ago?
A teenager?
Teenager. For yep. the third time in a row, she wins the jumpers. Third year in a row.
Of course. Wow.
Just awesome. So anyway, I just wanted
it
to
was
say,
a busy horse park over the weekend. There was a CDE, a combined driving event. So there were carriages everywhere. There was the Thoroughbred makeover. And then there was an event, too. So... it was a crazy weekend there. Would have been a fun weekend to go to the horse park.
I can't even, where's the stabling for all of those horses?
That's a lot of horses. Well, you know, we did something fun, and we're going to hear more about all the shows at the horse park later on today, but we went to Disney. We hadn't been there in probably about 2 years, because we had seen everything. We had annual passes. You guys know we love Disney. Well, there's this new part of Animal Kingdom called Pandora, which is off of the Avatar movie. They built a whole section of Pandora with floating mountains and all that's really cool. And it was really cool. I mean, they had
Did
floating
you get
mountains.
Did you mine my favorite thing ever, Unobtainium?
No, we did not mine Unobtainium, but we did want to. There
ever.
Are two okay. rides at this new part at Pandora. There are two rides. One is the Flights of Avatar, I think it's called. Flights of Wonder. What's it called, Jennifer? I don't know. I put it out of my memory after our bad experience. We actually had a bad experience at Disney.
Okay, so you are in the Avatar section, which, by yes. the way, was one of the worst movies of all time. Sorry,
well, they're making three more, so there you go. So we
was
were
the mean military there to tear down the.
No, this is actually set. Pandora is actually set 100 years after, and everybody lived happily ever after, and we're all getting along now.
Okay,
and apparently this is after the next three movies, so it's like really after. In the timeline. So the Flights is this simulated ride where you take a flight on one of the Banshees, the they flew the Banshees and they connected to them. They hooked their like antenna things to the Banshees and flew. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, the line for this since they opened has been really long. We got there at about 9:45. Thank God I had gone to the bathroom before we got in this line. So we get there about 9:45 and it says on the little sign an hour and a half. And we knew we didn't have fast passes. We couldn't get fast passes. They've been sold out for 6 months. So it's an hour and a half. We thought we haven't done this ride before. It's flight. I can't even remember the name of the ride. So we get in line figuring it's going to be an hour and a half. It's raining, by the way. So it's raining off and on, pouring off and on. And most of this queue, well, we thought most of the queue was outside. We finally, after about an hour and a half, get to the building. And we just get inside the building and realize that there's as much line in the building as there is out of the building. Well, and then an announcement comes on at about the 2 hour mark, Jamie.
Oh my God.
An announcement comes on saying that one of the two rides, there are two of them, one of the two rides is having mechanical difficulties and your wait will be a little longer than usual. Got to about 2.5 hours, and everybody in the line around us was starting to get pissed. We're in the building now, and it is pouring down rain outside, so at least we're not standing outside with all those other poor people who are in line. We get to about the 3 hour mark, and now people are really having to go to the bathroom. They're getting thirsty. They're getting hungry. They really could have sold concessions in this line and been much better off. Well, people had to go to the bathroom so bad because now we've been in line since about 9:45 and it's almost 1 o'clock. And people were going out the emergency exits, which takes you down these stairs. We actually went out one, which takes you down these stairs in the back of the building into like employee land just because they had to go to the bathroom so bad. There were no exits for people to bail out of the line. You had to walk back through the entire line, fighting your way through people if you wanted to get out of the line, which probably, by the way, would have taken about a half an hour. So people were wanting to bail out then. We tried to bail out and discovered that the emergency exit went into the back of the employee area, and we gave up on that. So we went back in. We were in that line till we got on the ride for 4 hours. We actually did not get onto the ride till almost 2 o'clock.
Oh my God.
So we get in the park at 9, we get in line at 9:45, we're actually on the ride at 2 o'clock. By the way, the ride was pretty cool, not worth 4 hours in line. It was a pretty cool ride, probably one of the best simulator rides I've ever been on. But oh my God, it's probably a half an hour to an hour line, not a 4 hour line. And in fact, one of them had broken and that's why it took so long, but they had no way for you to get out, no option for you to leave other than going the whole way back through the queue, which was a mile long. And you would have been fighting people coming the other direction the whole way. And there were a lot of people that did that. But the complaints from people around us were like, we're never coming to Disney again. It was a bad experience. We actually talked to one of the cast members the next day. And by the way, the rest of our day at Animal Kingdom was great. And the next day at Magic Kingdom was fine. Very crowded, but fine. And I talked to one of the cast members who said, oh yeah, they've been getting a lot of complaints about that. I said, they should have set up porta potties or something in the line because it was just got to the point of ridiculous. And people, the cast members were like, yeah, it's been a problem. So it's like, okay, well, deal with the problem. Do something. Put a bailout in where you can get out of the line. But yeah, that was our.
I'm having a hard time even processing. Standing
imagine
on my feet for
Lucas
4 hours
in line for 4 hours.
No, I wouldn't.
Well,
go.
There was a bunch of Lucases around us who were really having a tough time, and actually, I thought were really good considering they could have been much worse.
Oh my God! Did they have strollers? At least the kids could like lay down.
Well,
and take
there
a
were
nap.
Some of them with little kids, like 6, 7 years old. You know, out of stroller age and. People were sitting on the floor, and it was they got to fix that.
there's nothing that I would stand in line for an hour and a half for. You want me to stand here for an hour and a half? Not going to happen.
An hour and a half would have been okay. And you know what? I was thinking about it after. This ride was so cool. It probably would have been all right for an hour and a half, but That's the longest we've waited in line for anything. Now, we've never waited in line for an iPhone or any of that stuff, or tickets. So, you know, there's lots of people waiting lines much longer than that. But that is the longest we've ever waited in line for a ride.
That's crazy.
The guy in front of us was figuring out, he's from Alabama, and he was a chuckle. He sounded just like Scott, who reads our really bad ads on the weekend. He had that personality, and he had his whole family along, and he figured it out. He figured out the cost of a day at the park and how much of the day was spent in line for that one ride. He figured out it cost his family $300 to go on that ride. So, yeah. And I'm going to Disney again on Friday night for an event they invited us down for. It's just that they got to fix this problem. It's a problem. Yeah.
I guess I don't get it. I mean, I don't get the appeal of going to Disney in the first place, because you're going to stand around in line. It was so crowded. I remember we went to Disneyland with you guys, and I can't believe how many people just stand there. I just can't even believe how. Just nothing I would stand there for that long. It's just never going to happen. I'm not ever going. This solidified. My father wants to take Lucas to Disney World, and it has solidified the fact that it's never
going
to happen.
We have a lot of massive Disney fans in the audience, and I will say this: if you're going to Pandora, which is really cool. The Hanging Mountains and all that stuff's really cool. But you got to have fast passes. Do not get that line without fast passes. You have to have fast passes. By the way, we never went back to Pandora. It's supposed to be really cool at night because they have the lights and all that stuff. And it's supposed to be really cool. But we never went back. We likened it to a first date that went wrong, and you just don't want to go back. So we didn't.
You didn't need to. You stood there. You saw it all.
Okay. Now, we weren't the only ones having a bad experience over the weekend. It's a bad experience Monday, because there's this.
Awesome! I'm Princess Twilight Sparkle, and this is my home, Equestria. A land filled with magic, music.
Whoa!
And most importantly, friendship. Life is perfect.
I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Okay, that's all I can take. So, Brony Jamie decided to head over and see My Little Pony. Now, for new listeners, we pretty much have been making fun of My Little Pony since this show started 6 years ago. Nonstop.
Because we found out about a celebration that is known, and an organization that is the Bronies, and they're men that like My Little Pony. You can Google it. Urban Dictionary has a definition of a brony. It's a brony, and the Urban Dictionary is a fan of the show My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic. Often male, but female fans are not uncommon. Bronies usually show a want to be accepted as normal people, but don't appear to realize that to be treated the same as anyone else, they need to stop making sure everyone knows and remembers that they're a brony at all times.
Well, apparently Jamie wanted to be known as a brony because she went to the movie, My Little Pony.
Opening day, baby. Let me tell you something. When you have a four-year-old in the
house. By the way, you're fired, by the way. I just wanted to say that.
Opening day, because my child has been watching the commercials, and they have promoted on every children's network when My Little Pony was going to come out. Oh, my God. 9 more sleeps, Mom. 9 more sleeps. 8 more sleeps. Oh, my God. Is My Little Pony out yet? He wakes up. Is My Little Pony out yet? I'm like, you don't even really watch the show. But I think it was so much of the, like, movie previews being shown. He just, his friend was excited about it. So, Mom, is My Little Pony out today? Yes. Yes, it is. What would you like me to do with that information? Oh my God, they freaked out. So I was not going to do this alone. And so I texted 5 different moms saying, hey, My Little Pony's out today. We're going to go at 12:20. Anybody want to go? Everybody was busy.
Crickets? Did you hear crickets?
Everybody seemed to be busy at that time. But one lady was kind enough to offer just me, just her child to me. So I did get to take Lucas's friend Brooklyn.
Here, take my kid so I don't have to go.
Exactly. Hey, you know what? We're busy, but Brooklyn would love to go. Okay. But you know what? That's great. So, I did. Our auditors wanted a review of the movie, and I thought it was not fair of me as an adult to review a movie as epic and grand as My Little Pony, the movie. So I decided to let the children review the movie, and you will hear the passion in my son's voice about speaking of his friends.
Okay, what movie did we just go see? I'm here with Brooklyn and Lucas. What did we go see?
See My Little Pony.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite pony?
Shimmer and Shine.
Shimmer and Shine. Okay, that's another show. Who's your favorite pony?
Twilight Sparkle and Rainbow Dash.
Twilight Sparkle and Rainbow Dash. So, if you guys were gonna give this movie a grade of a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, which one would you give it? What would you give it, a 10?
A 10.
Okay.
I'll give it a 100.
What'd you say, Lucas?
I'll give it a 100.
So we really liked My Little Pony. Did you go see My Little Pony? Wait. Come here.
No, actually, I'll give it 100.
What's your name?
Kelly.
Kelly, did you see My Little Pony? Did you love it?
Actually,
say something. Don't just nod.
Actually, I'm going to have a 101.
101. did you?
Her friend got her a friendship bracelet.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, who's your favorite pony? Who's your favorite pony?
Rainbow Dash.
Rainbow Dash. Who's your favorite pony?
Rarity.
Who?
Rarity.
Rarity. Okay, great. Hey, what's your name?
Carson.
Carson, come here. Did you just go see My Little Pony?
Yeah.
Did you love it?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite pony?
It's a purple one and it's a blue one.
Come here. You like the purple one and the blue one? What was your... If you could give the movie a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best and 1 being terrible, what would you say it was?
What? And one is purple with no horn.
Oh, you didn't like the girl with no horn. What about you? Did you think it was a 10 or a 1, Brooklyn?
A 1.
You didn't like it?
Well,
you didn't like it at all?
I did like it.
You did like
it. I'll give it a 101%.
101%.
I really liked it.
Okay, what was your favorite part then, Lucas?
Yeah, it follows directions really well.
When rainbow got spinned.
When the rainbow got spinned around. All right. Did you moms enjoy this movie as much as I did?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I caught my noon siesta.
I call this.
I was able to catch up. I was able to catch right up where I nodded off.
It's shocked. You didn't miss much. I call this my $8 nap. Thanks, you guys.
First of all, Lucas follows directions really well.
You had to edit out him running away and coming back.
Yeah, I edited a lot of dead air out as you were chasing the children. By the way, how did it feel being the creepy lady with the recorder at the movie theater?
Hey, kids, come here. Come here and talk to me. So I had to incorporate a mom. They had no clue what I was doing. I mean, according to them, I just creepy lady with a phone chasing their children after a movie. I didn't introduce myself. I did not say who I was.
Hey, kid, come over here.
I didn't say what I was doing. Hey, come here. Hey, come here. Hey, little girl. Come here and talk to me. Yep. Zero introduction.
Okay,
and
so
I was amazed. I'm talking to these children, and these mothers are standing there watching me. Like, not saying, hi, can I help you? Is there something we need to talk about?
You look official. You sounded you owned it. And that's why they didn't question you. You owned it.
Yes, because I had children around me. Whatever. Like, are you with Jimmy Kimmel? No. No, I'm not. I'm not with Jimmy Kimmel.
So let me ask you, and if your answer is incorrect, you are fired. What was your rating from 1 to 10?
Oh, my God. It was so terrible. So terrible.
I like how they're in Equestria is the name of the place. Equestria.
Oh, it's hilarious. Like they live in Equestria. They everything is horsey, pony, and they'll be like, are you pony serious? Like, they throw the pony word in all the time. It's really funny. But there's just like really bad jokes that nobody's going to get. There was, I mean, the jokes were dated and really.
Kids liked it.
The kids liked it. But there was like a bad pony that had a broken horn and she was really scary, and then all of a sudden to get out of trouble they turned into mer ponies.
Murderous ponies, is that
mer ponies, like mermaids but ponies?
Oh.
And then they got in trouble for trying to steal the mer pony pearl, and then they got turned back into ponies while they're underwater. So then they like had to swim to shore and they were all fine, and they all fell out of the sky at one point. I don't know. It was just awesome. It was awesome. I'm so excited. It was wonderful. 10 out of 10.
Did you stay awake during any of it? Enough to at least see that your child didn't run off.
The problem is there was two of them and they both kept going, "Mom, hey, Lucas, Mom, did you see that?" I'm like, I was seeing the back of my eyelids there for a minute. But thank you very much.
Thanks for taking one for the team, by the way.
I thought I was fired.
Now that I think about it, you took one for the team. You're good.
Totally good. And if anybody else that is listening has a different review, I would
okay,
be
so now I got
here.
A question for you. Would you rather, this is a would you rather, wait in line for 4.5 hours or 4 hours for a really cool ride, or sit through My Little Pony?
My Little Pony.
Okay, there you
Without
go.
Without a doubt. I'm sorry, that's it. I can sit still. I can close my eyes. But if I can I watch it with no children around? Oh, wait, then I become really creepy.
Yeah, then you do. Then you just are that creepy person. Then you are a brony by that at that point.
I just want to take
Was there any bronies dressed up in My Little Pony costumes? Please tell me there was.
It was 12:20 on a Friday afternoon. There was nobody that was over the age of 6.
So in the evening, it would have been interesting to see the costumes. It really would have.
I did
you
not
could have
go
gotten
to the
pictures.
Midnight showing.
You could have gotten pictures.
Did not go to the midnight showing.
Kendra, hang on there. We're going to get to you in a second. But first, we have to talk about Omega Alpha Equine.
Omega Alpha Equine, our dear friends. My gosh, what would I do without Bioticate? It is just such a lifesaver. If you get a horse off the track or from a rescue or a horse that's been performing a lot, put them on Bioticate because it's the intestinal gut flora that's off balance. And Bioticate has, it's probiotics, but they have 8 different probiotics, not just the same one. And if your horse is on antibiotics for anything, you're killing all the bacterial flora in their gut that helps them with digestion. So antibiotics, when you get done with that, Bioticate. It just needs to be a part of your schedule. They also have awesome things for the gut, like Gastro FX, and they even have that in like a paste you can take with you. Everything that Omega Alpha has is herbal. Nothing is going to test because nothing is illegal. They're all herbs and spices, but they do such a fantastic job. And Regenerac is their kind of their big gut issue. So it's like healing. It helps with appetite. It helps with weight gain. It's great stuff. So just go check out all their products. They can take care of the whole horse from like hoof to nose, you know, the whole and in between the whole thing. So OmegaAlphaEquine.com. It's equine health through science. OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, next up, we have a listener of ours. She's been a listener for a long time. She's an auditor. We thank her for that. She's also an author, and she owns...
Hold on.
Yeah.
She owns Minis, right?
She owns Minis, and she has since she was like a born. Yes.
I will bet you she saw My Little Pony this weekend.
We'll find out.
$5.
Kendra is also from Canada, so happy Thanksgiving, Kendra Gale.
Thank you very much. I actually came in when you were talking about merponies, and I was super confused. What you were talking about.
So obviously she did not go see the movie, no. So
I have no children, so no.
No. Well, good. I'm glad you didn't go see the movie then, because I'd have to hang up on you right now. I have your book, The Big Book of Miniature Horses, and you've been a mini person forever, like since you were born. And so obviously that was the inspiration for the book, right?
Yes. Yeah. Since I was about a year old, my grandparents came home with our first miniature horses, and clearly it resonated with me because, you know, 36 years later, I'm still doing it. So yeah, it was definitely a labor of love to put this book together.
Well, I got to tell you, and there's something that's very important that I wanted to see at the very beginning of this book, and it was there. And that was at the very beginning of the book, you basically say, and I'm so happy that you say this, you basically say, and I'm paraphrasing here, the minis aren't for everybody, and you should really read this book before you buy your child a mini.
Well, you need to remember that they're still horses, just like any other. Yes. So they still need veterinary care and hoof care, and they still need to be treated like a horse. And so if that's the case, then yes, they are for everybody. But if you're going to, you know, if you're looking for a dog, then buy a dog.
Buy a dog. And it's pretty much what you say. So I was glad to read that right away. This is a great book because it really goes into, I mean, everything about a mini.
Yeah, that's when I first pitched it to the publisher. They're like, you want to cover a lot of things. Are you sure? And I said, yep, I want to cover everything. And they agreed. They said, okay, fine. We want to call it the Big Book of Miniature Horses, and we'll cover absolutely everything to do with them. So.
And now, were you responsible for all the pictures in the book? Because being a guy, that's what I did first, obviously. And I think everybody that opens this book is going to go through and look at the pictures first.
And I did, yes. I took most of the pictures. My brother took some, my mom took some, and my neighbor Rick, when he found out I was doing the book, he came over with some great pictures for me as well. So, yeah, pictures were all part of the deal.
So
most of them are my horses.
Well, I figured that, because how many do you have?
I have right around 30.
Oh, you beat Jamie then. Jamie's slacker, isn't she? She's just slacking on behind there.
One winter, my granddad figured out that he could feed 7 miniature horses the same amount as 1 quarter horse. So I think maybe we're pretty even.
There you go, Jamie. You're even. And their poop is much smaller. So,
you know what?
Yeah, there's still a lot of it when you have 30.
Yeah, that's true.
My vet always told me that. She was like, you know what? Minis cost as much as regular horses because the veterinary, she's like, we don't discount veterinary care. They get the same amount in a vaccine as a big horse. There's colic surgery is colic surgery, you know, things like that. But I said, yeah, but they eat a hell of a lot less than my thoroughbred.
Yes, it's only the food, though, that you get the deal.
Exactly. That's it. Trimming costs the same. It's amazing. Work harder trimming minis.
I know we've had some listeners recently that said they want to get a mini. So let's start there, really, which is really at the beginning of your book. What advice do you have for people that want to get a mini? First of all, you are buying a horse. That's the first thing.
Yes, it is. And just like if you were buying a horse, it would be a really good idea to have a mentor, somebody that's going to, you know, go with you and make sure. I talk a lot in the book about, you know, not falling in love. Make yourself a list of all the priorities of the things you want out of your miniature horse instead of just saying, oh my God, it's so cute, because they're all cute. You can't just pick them based on being cute. So do you want one to do therapy work? Do you want a show horse? Well, then it better be registered. Do you want a driving horse? Well, it better have a good mind. If you're new to driving, it better be already an experienced driving horse. Ideally with some lessons involved to teach you, because, driving is a dangerous activity, even with a tiny horse. So we need to make sure
that's the part I forgot.
And ourselves safe.
That's the part I didn't do 30 years ago and wish I had. The whole lessons when learning to drive thing. Now, I got to tell you, first of all, I got waylaid because I'm looking through the book, and then I get to Thumbelina. And let me describe Thumbelina, Jamie. Thumbelina is a dwarf mini, which means she's like really tiny. And her belt, she's white, pure white. I mean, white. From head to toe white, and her belly is dragging the ground. This is Thelwell. This is what Thelwell had in mind when he drew all that stuff, was Thumbelina.
Yeah, Thumbelina is a pretty special little horse. She belongs to some friends of mine. And it's really hard to have a dwarf miniature horse have a healthy and happy life because they have so many health issues. But Thumbelina has very dedicated owners who keep her, you know, they trim her hooves every 3 weeks in order to keep her legs comfortable. They give her, she has, they call it the Amazon door because of the Amazon commercial, where she can go in her own stall and have her special food. It's small enough so the other horses can't get in. And
what, they just get a German Shepherd door, like you'd buy for your house?
No, it was custom made just for
Thumbelina. Of course it was.
But yeah, they often dwarf miniature horse because people think, oh my gosh, they're so tiny and cute, but then don't know how much, you know, special work is involved and how you're not going to be able to keep them the long life that a miniature horse usually has. Some is 8 years old, I believe, and she is, you know, very elderly for a dwarf. They usually aren't able to stay comfortable for that long.
Now, I'm going to ask a really dumb question then, Kendra. Is a dwarf mini something that comes out that way, or are they bred to be dwarf minis? Is that a dumb question? Because I don't know the answer.
Well, it's a genetic oops, okay. If you will. Right. It's because for so many years, they focused solely on the size and getting them smaller and smaller and smaller. And anytime you focus on only one trait, you're going to wind up with other problems. So there's actually a genetic test now that you can test your breeding stock for 4 of the different dwarf mutations. And so you can make sure that you don't cross 2 recessive carriers and produce a dwarf.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It is not good to have one, even though they're like the cutest and they end up in the Guinness Book of World Records as the smallest one. They are really challenging to take care of.
They really are. And I think it's to maintain their quality of life is what's really difficult. Right. So then you're going to have to end up making a really tough decision on their behalf. But yeah. If, you know, like these friends of mine, they had this dwarf full born, they went above and beyond, and they still do every day to keep her comfortable. And in exchange, she works for them as a therapy horse. And aww. She really, you know, she visits,
she has a job
and actually stays there. Yeah, she has a job and one that she's really good at.
Now,
good.
So you're also a competitive driver, right?
I am, yeah.
There's nothing cuter, yeah, by the way, than being at a CDE and seeing the minis go by at 90 miles an hour. So cute.
And they do go 90 miles an hour, yeah.
Who do you recommend minis for, and who shouldn't have minis?
Anyone who's willing to educate themselves on, you know, horse care everybody should have a miniature horse. It says on the back of the book, the horse for everyone. And that's because, you know, they're so approachable for children. You know, for their first introduction to a horse, it's so much less intimidating for them to walk up to a miniature horse. They work great because they are so social. They're excellent, therapy horses, all sorts of different therapy. You know, I touch on a couple different aspects in the book. And anyone, especially those who, for whatever reason, aren't comfortable with a full-sized horse, whether they've had a fall or a scare, whether they're just, you know, there's just people that are afraid of a full-sized horse because they're so big, whether they're getting older or they have injuries and they're not comfortable riding anymore, because miniature horses have a super competitive show schedule. So if you came from, you know, competitive quarter horses and you wanted that same, you know, chasing points and traveling down the road and going to the world show, that's there for you. If you want to do more of a, you know, athletic pursuit, if you've been an eventer, eventers love combined driving, right? You know that, Glenn.
Yep.
So right. There's so many options that you can do with them. So really, any horse lover, they would work well for.
And when you look, when you say, okay, I'm going to buy a mini, I want to go find the mini of my dreams, what is kind of some of the things you look for?
Well, the best advice, especially someone like you who is an experienced horse person, is to go out and look for them just like you would your next event horse. You want to make sure that they have the athleticism, the conformation, all those things, just like you would look for a horse that you were going to ride. And then you need to look at what you want to do with them. Like I say, if you want to show them, you need to make sure they're registered. There's 2 main registries here in North America, so you need to find out. Many horses are registered in both of the 2 registries, but you want to make sure you have the right one for the shows in your area. So you need to do a little research that way. It works really good to visit breeders in your area, get to know them. Whether you buy a horse from them or not, it's good to have those contacts because they'll be able to tell you, you know, which farrier doesn't mind trimming miniature horses, right. Which veterinarian has good miniature horse experience, all those kind of things.
Well, Kendra,
where
can
to buy
people
halters?
Exactly. Where can people find out more about your book?
You can go to the publisher's website at horseandriderbooks.com, or it's available basically everywhere you can buy books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Chapters here in Canada.
And it comes out tomorrow. I was on Amazon. It says it's released tomorrow, so they order today. It'll be shipped.
Yeah, actually, I hear people have already been getting it from Amazon, so from the publisher. Yeah.
And that's horseandriderbooks.com, right, Trafalgar?
That's right.
Yeah, well, this is great. It is a great book, and it really does. I know you put a ton of work into this. You must have been working on this for a long time. So, and it really does. I like the index in the back. Pretty much, this is the Bible. You can consider this the Bible of minis. It goes through everything. I mean, there's so many chapters in here and a ton of pictures. There's a picture for everything. Great job, Kendra. I know how much work it was, and I think it'll pay off, and it's going to be in people's bookshelves for a long time to come.
Well, thanks so much, Glenn. I'm glad you like it.
And you need to do a mini show at some point. We need to talk about that. We have a lot of mini listeners.
I would love to.
We need to get that done. We've been talking about it for a long time. We need to accomplish that goal. And now, and so go to Amazon. It's The Big Book of Miniature Horses. Kendra Gale is the author. And I do have one more question. Is your Thanksgiving like ours? Do you have turkey and all that stuff up there?
Yep, that's right. Okay. just a different time. Yeah.
Different time. All right, good. We wanted to ask that because we weren't quite sure. And I was actually looking for a Thanksgiving Day song that I could find about Thanksgiving, but I didn't find any of those either for Canada. So I can't play any music for you.
Can you sing something?
That's okay.
Can you sing something Canadian for us?
Traditional Canadian Thanksgiving theme, like, we like turkey A, we like everybody A, something like that.
We've never sang at our Thanksgiving dinner. Plus, I think people would turn it off if you had me singing. So I think we
Skip
that portion.
They're still here and I sing.
Yeah, she sings and they're still here. So, I mean, we're... Hey, and thanks for being an auditor and a listener. We really appreciate that too, Kendra. And good job.
Congrats. Well,
thanks so much for having me on.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Now I want
30 minis. That's a lot of little poop. That is a lot of little.
You got to get the fork that has the tiny tines.
Yes.
Didn't Joseph sell those?
Yes. You really need the tiny tines. Pretty much. I cannot get for your next guest. The phone number just will not work.
You can try Skype. She said Skype. I'll give her she's in the middle of a thoroughbred sale and she's
all right,
trying to get Wi-Fi.
We're going to be introducing Claire here, hopefully, if we can get her on. We're calling Ireland, which is the problem. And I'm giving her a try right now on Skype, so we'll see if she answers.
Well, I'm excited. If it doesn't work, that means you can't call me when I'm in Ireland. Is she here?
Claire, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Claire. Hi. Hey, it worked.
It worked. We're talking Yay. To Ireland. Darn it, Glenn.
That means I'm going to track you down when you're there on vacation. I'll be calling.
I was telling Glenn, I hope we don't get her because then he can't call me when I'm in Ireland in a couple of weeks. But darn it, it worked. All right. How are you, my dear?
I'm very well. Thanks, Jamie. How are you?
Great. Gosh, could you just did love the accent, Glenn? I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. I did like the Irish accent.
So, to Claire, introduce yourself for those who don't know who you are.
Okay, so my name is Claire Cunahan. I'm from Donegal in Ireland, and I am one of Monty Roberts' certified instructors.
And what made you want to be a Monty Roberts certified instructor?
Okay, so I guess it kind of started, the Monty Roberts path started in the last 3-4 years. But before that, I had always worked with horses, and from a young child, it was just going to be horses no matter what. So I tried quite a different few paths. After I finished school, I went on to do equine science and business administration and become a riding school instructor. But while doing that, I found racehorses and started riding out there on a Saturday morning, fell in love with that, and switched from the riding school instructor slow and boring to becoming a assistant racehorse trainer, and I worked in racing yards for about 8 years or so. And then it was sort of, I loved it, but at the same time it was tough going and it wasn't giving me what I wanted from it. And I always sort of fell back to the teaching part of it. But when I went back to teaching again, then I found that it wasn't really working for me, because my horses that I had, that I was teaching with, were my own that I'd bred. And when people would give them instructions and then the horse would go to trot and the person would lose their balance and pull on the reins, and I was going inside and thinking, oh my gosh, the poor horse. So I was creating more problems, which I then realized now why I was creating those problems. And I just couldn't do it. I found it too difficult. And so I gave up on the teaching with my own horses and just done some pony trekking. But from working in the racing yards, there was one particular racehorse called Slayer. And I'd fall in love with him when I worked with him, and he was a colt. But he went off to England, and I didn't see him for about a year and a half. But I rang the trainer every so often when he ran to say, you know, look, if his racing career doesn't work out, would you give me first refusal on him? And when I used to look after him and ride him, he was so fat and really, really difficult to keep weight on and stuff. But when I got him home then, after I finally got him, he came back such a thin horse and a really like a windsucker. And I just couldn't figure it out. I was like, oh my gosh, what has this guy been through? You know, it really, really knocked me for six. Mm-hmm. But that's what sort of set me on the path. Then I tried, you know, I thought, oh, maybe he'll be different with me. And I tried him in a couple of races and stuff like that. And, you know, he never really changed. The windsucking was there. I couldn't even turn him out. He was so stressy. And I'd always known about Monty's methods from a child. And I kind of just thought of, oh, Monty is this magical horseman in America who, you know, you just get to know about him and you could never sort of learn his methods. But so I rang the Monty Roberts International Learning Center and I spoke to Adam, and he was so, so helpful. I couldn't believe it. Like, and he said to me then, oh, you know, there's actually courses in Ireland. And I was like, really? And I looked it up online and he told me about Caroline Jennings, and she happened to be running join up that weekend. So no, I packed my horse up and I thought, right, well, yeah, we're going to join up the following day. And so I'd done the course with Caroline then. And she was so, it was like different. You know, you work in the racing industry or any parts of the horse industry, it's, I don't know how to describe that feeling where people sort of, everyone's trying to be better than each other. And, you know, but with Caroline, it wasn't like that. She was so encouraging with everything. You know, and she told me about the path, you know, what I could do to become an instructor. And I thought, right, I definitely want to do this. And then about a month later, I went on and done the introductory course with Lara Gold. And I found the exact same thing with Lara. So encouraging and really easy to work with and stuff. And from then on, I just went and kept going. Done my exams, went to America, done the advanced course. And you know what it's like there, Jamie. It's just amazing. Like, it's so hard to describe
what it's like. Like Glenn, my co-host here, was talking about going to Disney World and spending, you know, hours in line at Disney World, and how this is our Disney World, you know, like we've stood in the round pen for hours just watching people work with horses and watching Monty work with horses, watching your classmates work with horses. And that's our Disney World, Glenn, probably Jen's too. So it is just, it's such an amazing experience. They do have a bunch of courses. The 23rd through the 26th is join up, 27th and 28th is long lining. And then in November, they have the Horsemanship 101, which is just really the basics, a join-up course the 27th through the 30th, and then even one into December, the 1st and the 2nd is the long lining. And those are kind of the ones that are up and coming for everybody now. So definitely check them out. Now, Claire was my instructor for the advanced course. I remember meeting Claire because she was leaving. She had passed her exam. And I just started a course. And so she was leaving, but I was like, oh, really sad. Claire's leaving. I'm like, I don't know who Claire is. So they had some big party. And then like then 5 days later, Claire shows back up. She's like, yeah, I just decided to come back. So to, like, get started on your internship and get done with it. Because
well, the weather is better in California than Ireland. Yeah. So way, just way saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I went home for a few days and it just didn't stop raining. And I thought, no way. I have to get back
in. So I was like, I thought you left. You're back? She's like, yeah, I just came back.
Yeah. Like,
so that's how dedicated she was and is, and maybe just to get out of Ireland. Now, where are you right now?
I'm actually in Newmarket in the UK right now at the horse sales.
I hear a lot of horses winning in the back.
Yeah. Awesome. It's like, so it's the second week of the yearling sales, and this would be one of the biggest sales of the year.
And this is racehorses?
Racehorses, yeah. We had some huge prices last week. They had horses that made $4 million. It's just been...
Whoa!
I saw
at the Irish sales. Wow.
Was it like a filly that sold for $4 million, right?
Yeah. It's been crazy. So it has just...
And what do you do
there? So much money.
What do you do?
So basically, we look after the horses and show them to potential clients who want to buy them and just do all the general...
So is the money
them, keeping them exercised?
Do you have any inkling of where the money is coming from? Is it coming from America? Is it coming from the Arab countries? Is it coming from China? I know China is getting in big now.
Yeah, I know it comes from all over. Like, for instance, last week, I think the sale topper was a Frankel quote, or sorry, 2 weeks ago in Goffs, which is in Ireland. And that came from America. And then I think it may have been the Arabs last week. And then it's all over. It's Ireland, England, United States, Arab countries, everywhere. People come from everywhere to buy them, and it's been so busy the last few days.
We need some more Frankel over here in the US, so bring them on.
Definitely. Yeah, and that's been great too, because a lot of the times, you know, when you have a super horse like Frankel, when he becomes a sire, you know, the offspring don't generally be as good, but his are seeming to be pretty good as well, so that's quite encouragement.
Boy, and Irish racing, getting horses from Ireland now, Irish bred horses, has just skyrocketed in what, the last 5 years, I would say.
Yeah, like Ireland would have one of the biggest exports of racehorses. It's for the size of the country, the amount of horses that we have is just, it's unbelievable. I think we probably have more horses than we do people.
I'm going to the right place. Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm so excited to, because Claire's been helping me plan my trip. And Chad initially was like, we're going to go to Dublin and we'll like take some day trips. And Claire's like, forget that. Rent a car and drive through the country. So right now, Claire, what we have planned is we're going to land in Dublin. We're going to spend the night there. And then we're going to start driving west and try to get out like as far as we can towards Galway. Who knows what adventures we'll find there in Galway. I have contacted a place that I'm going to go fox hunting. And then I found another place in a castle that is south of Galway. Like you go down past like Ennis towards Limerick. And I'm going to do some falconry.
What? Are you going to do that? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Did you know that Ireland had falcons that you could like go
rent play? A falcon?
I may have seen
rent a falcon
on somebody's Facebook. That's a bit crazy.
Yeah, I'm gonna rent a falcon. I get to like walk through the woods and like have a falcon go off my hand and like come back and I'm like, caw-caw! And I call it, it comes back and lands. I don't know. So anyway, I'm gonna give you my itinerary and you can say yes or no, but we are gonna go to Galway and then you recommended the Cliffs of Moher, so we're gonna go do that. And then I did think, I was like, let's stay in Limerick. And then we read that Limerick is the murder capital of Ireland. Is that true?
I actually have no idea. I don't watch the news. I'm too busy outside with the horses to watch that. So no, I actually don't know. I think it's as bad as they make out. I mean, I think every city has their bad places and their good places. And you generally hear the worst news before you hear the good news. Travel 10 times faster, so they say.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on and talking to us. And so what is next for you as far as Monty Roberts training goes?
Okay. So actually this week I'm going, there was a lovely lady that I met in America in the summertime and I'm going up to her her for a few days to teach her. We're going to start off basically with the Horsemanship 101. So she's also into the racehorses. And what she's wanting to do is they buy their own yearlings at the minute and they have other people prep them in their foals and stuff. But she wants to actually do it herself and she wants to do it through Monty's methods. So I'm going to help train her in Monty's methods so that she can then train the horses and train her staff.
And she's in as well. America? So I think that, or she's in Ireland?
No, she's in the UK. She's in London, just outside London.
Okay, cool.
But I met her in America. She was over for Monty's special training.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's really good. And it's quite encouraging to see that people are wanting to bring it into this arboreal industry. And it will help us too, because if once the horses show the results, other people will start asking, oh, this is, and then we'll get our methods trickling through the racing industry a bit more. Because he does a lot of work for the Queen already. He's actually here at the minute and starting the Queen's babies. I think he's in Sandringham this week and then he starts his tour on Saturday. So, amazing. But where I'm aiming for is to bring his methods into the horses when they're a lot younger, like from foals right up to yearlings and then starting them as well.
I love that.
Oh, I love hearing the horses.
That's an expensive one right there.
That was a Frankel baby.
Yeah.
Well, Claire, thank you for coming on and talking to us. I could talk to you forever. I could listen to you
can
forever.
Can we just have her read the phone book for the rest of the show and we'll just take
I
off?
Know.
Yeah.
Just take over.
Yeah.
She's actually got to get back to like showing babies and stuff. So thank you so much for coming on and thank you for all of your help at Flag Is Up. And it's always been so fun getting to know you and getting to work with you. And that's a part of the fun of going to Monty's courses is you'll make friends from all over the world.
Oh, definitely. You meet so many amazing people there. And everyone, as I say, has of a positive mindset and they really want the best for the horses and the best for the people. And, you know, even going to there has sort of put me a little bit more on the human path with the horses as well as just, you know, the horse path too. And just really sort of trying to get people's minds opened more so than it's not the horses that have the problem. Like, as Monty says, if you want to clearly understand the problem of your horse, look in the mirror. So it's so true though. Around there you generally find people that are of like minds of ourselves and positive and really helping you out. So it is an amazing place and I definitely recommend anybody going and doing any of the courses and just, you know, even if you don't want to go further and be an instructor, just to, you know, try and get a better understanding for your horse, for your own relationship with your horse, even pleasure horses. It's
perfect. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff. Claire, thank you so much. And
you're welcome,
we will
Jamie.
Look forward to hopefully talking to you again soon and see you soon. And thanks for your help with planning our trip to Ireland.
You're welcome. I hope you enjoy it and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. We truly are going around the world the last couple of weeks. And thank you for putting that together, Jamie. We're going to have teenage social media drama at the end of the show. We have a couple of more guests. We have a busy Monday, but we haven't forgotten.
The teenage social media drama, I would like to apologize to one of the auditors. She is not a teen, but she did post a rant. And I feel like it's my responsibility to read it as
a teenager.
Yes.
We're taking her back a few years. Well, before we get to Leslie, I have to tell you about the Total Saddle Fit Shoulder Relief Girth. Whether you ride English or Western, you really should be taking a look at this girth. The center of the girth sits in your horse's natural groove, your girth groove, and it sits back. It's cut a little bit back. So what it does is it takes the pressure off of the shoulders. It keeps your saddle from being pulled into the shoulders. Reese and Philip love this thing, and they use it on their hot dressage horses all the time.
I use my dressage girth on my Mustang.
Do you really?
It's awesome. Oh, yeah.
Totally. And because of the cutout, the way it's shaped, it keeps your saddle from pushing forward, right? Under the shoulders.
I feel like it gives them more room to move their legs forward and backwards. And so I felt like he was always doing this like really short, choppy kind of trot. And I feel like his trot is bigger when I'm wearing that girth. Maybe I'm crazy.
Well, you're probably right. And it has also a unique triangular elastic at the center of the girth that expands So it expands. So for breathing, when your horse gets breathing a little bit more, it actually expands and contracts the breathing. And you have a choice, too. The really cool thing is it has an interchangeable liner system. The Stretch Tech shoulder relief girth can be used with neoprene, leather, or wool fleece. So you can change those out depending on the horse. So if you ride a lot of different horses in one day and they all prefer something different, you can do that with one girth instead of all the different girths. And the additional liners can be purchased separately. So you have the Stretch Tech shoulder relief girth, the WinTech cinch, or the Western cinch rather, and the saddle pads that they have over there. You want to also take a look at it's TotalSaddleFit.com. That's TotalSaddleFit.com. Reese and Philip have been talking about these girths and using them for years and years and years and years. And the cinch is now one of the best-selling Western cinches on the market today. TotalSaddleFit.com. All kinds of videos and explanations over there. You'll find them right on the website. And now, she hasn't been on in a couple of weeks because she's been kind of busy. I don't know what slacker. She does. She's a slacker, I think. Yeah, she kind of like does all this writing and all this stuff. And now she was riding over the weekend, her little pony princess. And I think it's just appropriate that Leslie has a pony princess, by the way. I think that's perfect. Leslie, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hi, Leslie. Good to have you back.
Yeah, I'm a little squeaky today, so I apologize.
Is it from all the cheering that you were doing at the Kentucky Horse Park for your pony princess?
Yes. No, actually, that was last weekend. They had the, you know, the thoroughbred makeover up there this past weekend, obviously. And then
last weekend.
Last weekend was Jumpstart Horse Trials, which we went to. But hey, on a thoroughbred makeover note, I have to give a shout out one of the HRN auditors, Stephanie Eileen.
Yes.
Griffiths did a write up on the eventing winner, Allison Thompson, and her horse. So we'll be putting that on Eventing Nation this afternoon. So keep an eye out for
and,
it.
It's and really we're cool. trying to get her, Stephanie's trying to get her on our show Wednesday. So we might have her on the show on Wednesday. Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
It's not what you know, it's who you know. That's how we get these we get these big guests. Let's talk a little bit about Princess. Talk to me about Jumpstart. First of all, can I just say the Jumpstart horse trial was the first horse trial I ever did. Ever.
Really?
Yes.
Aww.
It was where I got my start. And I remember thinking, oh my God, that I have to canter up this hill and there's this roll top on, like going up the hill. I thought it's impossible. That's so huge. Of course, I was going like beginner novice, you know, like my 16 hand thoroughbred laughed at it as we cantered up and I was totally hooked from there. So when I saw you were at Jumpstart, it kind of made my heart feel good. The girl who was the maid of honor in my wedding, I met at Jumpstart Horse Trials.
No way.
Yes.
Aww. Yes. I mean, it's such a great event. It's Keeneland Pony Club's only annual fundraiser. So that's great. I grew up in the pony club, so always happy to support that. And then, and it's just always well run. And it's just fun to ride on that course, you know, where they run Rolex. So we all have that association and it's just good galloping and neat really to be cool. out there and doing a jump start on Princess at prelim levels, our first full prelim together. It actually did feel like some sort of 4-star event.
So remind everybody how big your pony is.
Princess, well, her pony card, she's not quite 14 hands. She's like 3.9999, but we like to round it up to 14 hands because our ultimate goal is to get sponsored by 14 Hands Wine. So we just go with 14 hands.
Yeah, she's clearly 14 hands, obviously.
Clearly.
All you needed to do is just grow her hooves out a little bit.
Right.
Don't trim her.
I like your priorities, Leslie.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So she's almost 14 hands. And tell everybody what prelim eventing is all about.
Yeah. Well, prelim is, you know, it's the height is 3.7 for a solid, you know, for the solid fence, that's the max. And then higher up for a brush fence. We're talking about, if you do the math on it, jumping 3.7 on a 14-hand pony is the equivalent of jumping 4.3 on a 16-hand horse. You know, so which I don't like math. I don't. That's not an equation I keep in my head. try to keep it out of mind because it's a little scary. So I mean, what's, you know, a 4-star is.
Right.
Advanced height is 3.11, right? So basically it's like a pony 5-star. Prelim is like a pony 5-star. and we had done a prelim training event where you do the dressage and the show jumping at prelim height and then the cross country at training in the summer, and we'd done a prelim combined test, but this was the first time we'd done all three phases, and both of us have done individually prelim before, obviously, but the princess actually even got eliminated from a 1-star once, which I feel like is a big accomplishment. but it was our first time going at it together, and she'd sort of lost her confidence at the level before. So we've spent the with our old owner, so we spent the last year kind of like building back up from the bottom, and the show jump, the dressage was, you know, a hot mess as usual. That's sort of our trademark, that's our stamp, you know.
What was it you had a what?
Oh, our dressage was kind of a hot mess. That's kind of our
hot mess. Gotcha. Yeah,
that's kind of our trademark, you know, dressage. We got to keep it entertaining.
You didn't jump out of the little white chain, though.
But she did not jump. Okay, she totally stayed in the ring. Yeah. And then show jumping. We had one rail in the triple, which I actually could not. I was watching the video. I could not figure out how we pulled it. And then I saw a picture from the... that a friend had taken, and I think she pulled the rail. This is like the pony problem to the max. She pulled it with her belly.
Oh my god!
So, which I mean, I'm like, okay, princess, because she has to wear a muzzle all the time anyway, you know. And I always tell her, I'm like, if you want to be in Olympic gymnastics, you have to, you know, you can't eat cheeseburgers, princess.
You have a Thelwell eventing pony.
Oh my god, she pulls her legs up higher than her tummy.
So we kind of, yeah, I know, I'm gonna have to like start, she, you know, she needs those carbs, we all need those carbs.
She's, you know, carbo loading.
Maybe,
yeah,
I'll just start like greasing up her belly a little bit so she just slides over.
You got to do it. So how did cross country go?
Cross country was, I mean, I had been actually this nervous about cross country in a while. I went out and walked the course and everything looked so, I mean, it looked normal if I was thinking about just riding it on my old, you know, my old upper level horse Esprit, like looked fine. But then when you think about riding it on a pony, I was like, oh my gosh, can she do this? Can she jump this big? Like there was, you know, like the second fence, was a brush fence that came up to my chin. I mean, not that, you know, that's like, I'm like 5'1", but, but it came up to my chin. It was a nice big stout course. So we went out there, and the great thing about Princess is like, she is, in the barn, she is the sweetest pony. Like she has this like she nickers at me like a Disney pony, and she has this soft little muzzle, and she's so sweet. She loves to get groomed, and she's just like a little doll baby. And then you put her in the cross country start box, and she is rearing up. You know, she has fire. You know, like. Coming out her nostrils, and that's how she attacks cross country. I just kind of knew from the first fence that, I mean, everything looks so big, but I was like, oh, she has got this. I'm sure my eyes were dinner plates coming up to those, some of those big tables. She was great. She actually was even better than she has been at training level because I think she is like, okay, here's some fences that I respect, you know, so you can put your leg on a little bit in front of the fences and the fences themselves like back her off a little bit, you know, in a good way. So you can kind of give her a more positive ride instead of just thinking, oh my God, how am I going to slow this pony? How might you like the whole time trying to figure out how to like slow these roll because just like speed bumps.
That's amazing. You just described, I took Zeus, my Mustang's cross country schooling, and he is the same weight going up to the fence. You're like, oh my God, it's not going to slow. Nothing slows him down. And I finally put him up to like maybe three novice fences. I actually got to add leg. Like put my leg on and be like, go. And it was the coolest feeling to have a horse that you could sit down and get comfortable on. Of course, my horse is 15 hands and the fences are, you know, 3 foot and you're riding a 14 hand pony over like, you know, 4'6". So you win, but I know exactly what you mean. That's just so crazy. So how did you end up? What was the biggest challenge?
Well, let's see. We had a couple hairy moments. I did like almost fall off in the water. We had kind of a funny jump in and I just got like tipped off her shoulder. But then I kind of like was back in the saddle and it was a ABC combination. Like you jumped a log in and then had a bending line to a skinny in the water and then another like 4 or 5 strides. Through the water up a little mound to a skinny brush. And so things happened pretty quick in there. But right. As soon as I landed and we landed in kind of a heap and I realized that I was like actually still on my pony, I was like, oh, I better start kicking. And so I just started kicking, pointed her at the second jump and she was just foot perfect over B and C. And then at the very far end of the course, there's the hollow, that is on like the Kentucky 4-star. They have, I mean, different jumps, obviously, but it's kind of like you go up a lip and then you jump down into a bowl and go through the bowl and then come up out and over. And, she's not, you know, she's really is not a, she's not just a pack. She's not a packer. You have to give her a good ride, and be there for her. And I didn't, and we kind of jumped in with what I thought was like a little much. And then I just kind of stopped riding her forward and she got a little underpowered coming up the hill to the C element and just we got there on a half step and she just didn't have, you know, she didn't have the canter to jump it. So she stopped and I just, you know, I was like petted her and she's like, Mom, get it together. I can't do this.
I was just thinking about interviewing her after this whole cross country ride and her going, I had to drag her ass around this whole course. I wish she could keep up.
Stay on better. I'm like, okay, princess. So like it did better. And then she was great the whole rest of the course. And she puts on all the horse steps and just it was such a cool feeling. So
is this
cool
the next Teddy in a couple years? Are we gonna see you?
I thought about that. You're out there on the Kentucky Horse Park cross country track, and it's definitely like, okay, you know, like ponies have done bigger than this before out here. You know, thinking about Teddy and. You know, what did he place fourth at roll a third or fourth at
yeah.
Rolex,
I think.
Yeah.
I have to stop calling it Rolex. I think we're all going to keep calling it Rolex.
I think we'll just keep calling it Rolex. The heck with it.
I can't do it. I'm mad at Rolex for not sponsoring it. It's Kentucky. I'm
never going to buy Rolex again.
I am never buying. I'm going to return all my Rolexes. I'm so mad. Well, Leslie, we'll let you go because I can tell your voice is struggling. I'm so proud of you guys and so excited. And you're such an inspiration to me and to all of our listeners. We all love you so much. And thank you for coming on and talking about your horse.
Ponies rule.
Here comes Precious Magic Gallop Jennings is on her way to Kentucky. Okay.
That's right.
Thanks, Leslie.
Okay. Bye, guys. Right, have a great week.
Of course, that's Horse Nation and Eventing Nation. You can find there. And Auditor Stephanie's article will be on Eventing Nation later in the day. So good job, Stephanie, too. Well, we did talk about the Mustang or the Thoroughbred Makeover. I got too many horses in my brain today. We've talked about a lot of stuff on this show. But we had a spotlight rider that was training up a horse for the Thoroughbred Challenge over the weekend. And of course, that was one of our terrific auditors as well, Kayla. Kayla is on with us. She rode Freshman Phenom, or Gable. Hi, Kayla.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
It's Freshman Phenom, Glenn.
Phenom?
Right?
Didn't I say that?
Phenom.
Yeah, Phenom.
Phenom.
Like phenomenal.
Like phenomenal. Well, was your horse phenomenal?
He was. He was really good. We kind of went into the whole makeover with the goal of just keeping all 4 feet on the ground unless we were supposed to be jumping. And we did that. So
good.
He won that. And he actually ended up placing ninth in the show jumping out of like 80 some odd riders.
Wow.
And horses. And then he was 23rd in the dressage out of 101.
Okay, let me just say, Glenn, have you watched Freshman Phenom jump a fence in the videos that she posted?
You know why it's so hard to watch in the videos is because Freshman Phenom is this gorgeous gray, and it's like this beautiful white horse just jumping fences. You get caught in how beautiful your horse is, by the way, and should have won the beauty contest if there was one.
Oh, my gosh. But he is jumping. Talk about his scope and his talent.
Yeah, because that's 2-3, right? Were you jumping 2-3?
No, that was jumping 6-4.
Oh.
Yeah. I was jumping 2-6, and I think he thought we were jumping Rolex. He was like, we're at Rolex, so we should be jumping Rolex.
It was hilarious, Glenn. Like, it was like there were imaginary poles above every fence. That horse should have won the competition just for sheer exuberance alone. I mean, what is going on? Is he always like that?
He's not nearly that exuberant. I mean, he has a ton of scope and he does jump big over things, but his hind end became unreal. His hind end has never jumped like that before. And over one oxer, the third fence of the actual course, we got a bit too deep and I was like, oh, here we go. And then his hind end kicked out like mid jump over it. And I was like, and I'm going to come off now. This is when I fall off my horse.
You did fall off?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh,
but
oh my gosh. I'm like, how did I miss this?
No, it just felt like I was like, oh, there goes my lower leg. Oh, you know, it was very, very exuberant. And one judge did comment on his exuberance. That
you can't not.
Tone it down a bit.
So tell us, did show jumping.
Yes.
And then did you go in the ring then? Were you in the ring for freestyle?
No, so I didn't end up doing freestyle.
Okay.
I chickened out.
You chickened out? Okay, so you did show jumping.
I chickened out.
And something else, right?
And dressage.
And dressage, okay. So I didn't get to watch dressage. Were we as exuberant in dressage?
Well, our canter transitions were. They were very exuberant.
You moved right along, huh?
Dressage is probably his weakest phase. He gets a little inconsistent in the bridle. When he gets anxious, he head tosses. So it's all about just trying to keep him on the bit and keep him collected a little bit. And he just sometimes he gets a little exuberant. But he went in and he put in a very solid test. He was right up there with the top horses. Like the top couple horses were all, the scores were very close together.
Mm-hmm.
He went in and we would have won the dressage, but I think a lot of people would win dressage like in the warm up, like, you know, so we went in the warm up, we would have won if we were just in the warm up. It's when he went around the ring that he's like, oh my gosh. And he's only been in a dressage ring 3 times. That was his third time.
And let's remind everybody, you had how many months to train this horse? 10 months. So, you know, we're not talking a whole lot of training here. Usually we're not doing this kind of event even after 10 months. So, what was the atmosphere like at the at the competition this year?
There was a lot. I think it was probably the most electric it's been. I've not been in the past, but everyone was saying how low key it was, but they also had over 300 horses competing, and I mean almost close to 400, and so there was just a lot going on everywhere. Plus there was the CDE happening,
the carriage event
at the horse park at the same time.
So you had carriages everywhere, which a lot of thoroughbreds just don't take kindly to right away.
It got very exciting. I would walk to my warm-up rings like on him. But when I was done, I would get off of him and hand walk him back just in case we met a carriage, because things got a little exciting at times. And a lot of the hacking that you have to do to get to the rings is on concrete roads. So I didn't want to slip and fall. But we actually had one of my stable buddies. She got off of her horse and he got away from her spooking at a carriage. And actually ran and fell down on the road.
Oh, wow.
And so it got...
Yeah, we don't like to hear that.
It was a little exciting. Luckily, he was okay. He only slipped a little bit and fell. So he was good to compete the rest of the time, but...
That's hard, too. You don't think about that, but with most horses, never see a carriage. And it's hard to desensitize a horse to a carriage if you don't have a carriage. I mean, it's... It's hard. And usually they take to it pretty quickly and then they're fine. But it's that first couple meetings. And what we've found in the past, being at carriage competitions where there are other horses around, is the minis are the ones that totally freak them out.
Yeah, we didn't come across any minis, which was good. Though there was every time for my horse, for Gable, every time the carriages came by, I don't think it was the actual carriage. It was the amount of hoof clops that got him, because even when they would hand walk them and like they would hand walk him in pairs a lot of the time, they would walk around our barns and it was like the amount of hoof clops like really got him.
That sounded like a herd of horses coming, right?
Yeah. It was like, bah, 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 bah. And he was like, and unfortunately in our flat work for the show jumping, we halted to salute to the judge and, a carriage came by and then we got stuck for a few seconds, which seems like eternity in the ring when you're competing. And I couldn't get him to go forward because his heart was beating and is just staring at the carriage, and we started to go backwards. So then we had to go sideways to get us going again. And then we halted and had to do a rein back and he saw another carriage. And so our 4 steps of rein back turned into 12 steps of rein back and a few things like that, that he was a little overwhelmed, but.
You know, it's one of the largest.
I think it was good for the horses. So.
I think it's one of the largest horse parks in the world, right? And we the carriages and the other horses have to be in close proximity. You can't keep them apart. Well, that's interesting.
Well, and the jogs for them, they did jogs on Thursday, which was the first day of the makeover for the thoroughbreds. And the jogs were right next to in between the warm up for show jumping and where they were doing the fox hunting for the makeover. And so we got to see them all jogging up and down. And then they go and they hitch up and go for their ride before they start the dressage phase for them. And you're like, okay, this is fun. I'm going to hang on my thoroughbred kite right now and go for a ride.
Well, we're very excited.
But
I wanted to ask you about this horse. Obviously, you got to think this horse has good prospects, right?
Yeah. After this weekend, his price tag went up and he may or may not be for sale.
He is not for sale. Don't you dare sell that horse. Don't you dare sell that horse, woman. I will come get you.
I know. I'm like, because I do think that he's going to make a really nice event horse eventually. I didn't end up entering the eventing just because the cross country, I thought was, I think he's just a little too green still to have gone and done the cross country there. And I wanted to do what was right for him. And so we just did the show jump. We kind of broke it into sections. We did the show jumping. We did the dressage. I think he could be at Rolex, or the event formerly known as Rolex.
That's what we'll call it. I like that. The event formerly known as Rolex. It's a little long, but it works.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I think
you got your Rolex horse. Maybe I got goosebumps just hearing you say that, by the way.
I think so. And if I could be so bold to say that, I know that it'll take a while to get there, but look for us in 6 years.
All right. We will.
We could be there.
We will, definitely. Well, Kayla, it's been fun following your progress with you and Gable. And, you know, you had to have 100 people stop you and say how stunning your horse was over the weekend, because he truly is.
His walk. Everyone commented on his walk. When he gets nervous, he does like this Spanish walk where he flings his front legs a little bit. And everybody like was commenting, oh, my gosh, look at his walk. Yeah. 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 Maybe
just like that,
you know, just like Zenyatta. He clearly didn't run like her though.
Kayla, thank you for joining us, and congratulations on finding yourself a very nice pony.
Thank you. It was so much fun, and I recommend it for anyone who wants the challenge. It's a lot of fun, and they did a really nice job there, and it was really cool to see all the horses. Like, the working ranch horses were unreal. I couldn't imagine training a thoroughbred to do what they did. So it was cool.
Well, thanks, Kayla. And we'll see you when you come down in a couple of months. We have to get together right away, okay?
Yes, definitely.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Kayla.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Congrats.
Good job. What a fun show. And it's not over. Are you ready?
Well, let me set it up here. Okay. Because you people used to send me equestrian teenage social media drama, and nobody sent me anything this week, so I had to go find it. So this first one I found online, but it's a rant from England, and I had to take out a lot of cuss words because people in Europe just cuss like no problem, just let it go.
Are you going to do your fine British accent too?
There's no way I could keep it together with a sentence that's in this. And then the second one, I'll introduce the second one after I do the first one. How about that?
All right, here we go.
And now it's time for teenage social media drama.
Like, what the hell, guys? I have like seriously had this rant way too many times. Why do people think it's like acceptable to tow a trailer with a car that is like way too small? It totally boils my piss.
I assume that was edited.
No. Oh. That's in there. What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know why you'd want to either.
It totally, I just for that, I had to extract that because I've never heard somebody saying it totally boils my piss when people do that. I wish we had Claire back on that. Ask her if people in Ireland say it.
I want to hear Claire say it in that accent.
It totally boils my piss. Do people not realize the consequences, which could totally happen? Ah, never would I put my baby, my pride, and my joy in a situation which is unsafe to get to a competition. Like, who cares? It totally boils my pit. What? Any of our British family and friends listening, can somebody message me and tell me if that's something normal people say in England? Because if it is, I stand corrected. If it's not,
I'd look it up, but I'm afraid I will find.
God, don't Google that. Do not Google that. Oh. Okay, the second rant is not from a teenager. She's she's not a teenager, but after reading this, I can't see a rant and not think of it. So Geraldine, bless your heart, I'm going to take you back to where you are a teenager. Here we go. This is equestrian.
Sorry,
social
Geraldine.
Media drama senior version. After working all week long at both my day job and on the enclosure for my new pony, I decided to go on a leisurely ride on my, thank goodness, like super steady mare Spring. As I was going up one of the unnamed back roads off of CRB 007, this asshat in a Volvo station wagon is like barreling down the dirt road. Luckily, we were like able to get off the road and into the sagebrush. The car was going so fast that I doubt it would have like been able to even stop if my mare was freaked out and we were not able to get off the road. My mare was like really good, but still slightly unnerved by the experience. I ride bareback most of the time in a halter and a lead rope, and I'm so happy that I'm here to write about it instead of at the hospital today. Slow the F down. Leave earlier if you have to be someplace. Thanks for listening.
And I've met Geraldine, and she sounds nothing like that, by the way.
I <know. laughs> But I in my head. I don't even need teenagers anymore. Who the hell needs a teenager? Send me what bugged you.
Okay, I couldn't resist. I looked it up. Urban Dictionary. Boils my piss. Boils my piss being made so angry that you can actually feel your piss boiling inside yourself. So apparently it is a say.
Oh my god, that's my favorite thing ever. I'm so mad. I can feel the pee inside me boiling. What? thing. You can't, like I said, you can't make this stuff up.
Okay, you know what I didn't look at was Google Images when I searched for that, because I really didn't want to see that. All right, thank you, everybody. We run out of time. Okay, so tomorrow's Endurance Day on the show.
Wednesday, I'm gonna drop some entertainment on you because I am horse shopping for a client.
No, so Wednesday I'll be horse shopping, Jamie. Thursday this week is Mary Kitzmiller. And then Friday, we'll be back. We have really bad ads and also first world problems. Did you notice, because we weren't on Friday, that everybody was posting their first world problems anyway because they missed it? So apparently that's a great new segment.
Yeah. So just know that if you do post a first world problem just randomly and think I don't see it, I see it.
And she saves it. So you will be made fun of also.
You think you're just posting away. Oh, here's my first world problem. Yeah, gotcha. I got that.
And of course, we have to go because we have a book to read for Wednesday. So we'll be continuing the book. We're in chapter 8.
Stand in line for 4 hours at Disney World.
That's it. I gotta go. This is way too long to stand.
What book is that, Glenn? What book is that?
It is Opium Equation. I remembered. Hello. Thank you.
Well, I guess change does happen. Miracles do occur. Spayed it or geld. Don't boil your pee.